else. I love John Tanner. I know he did a phenomenal job last week. I'm thankful to spice things up, change it up a little bit, but I'm also very grateful that this is the final message in this series, and it's me, and we go into a new series, and we're back to normal, because let me just tell you, it's a different culture over there in Hampton Cove, and I'm very thankful for that culture. I'm thankful, and I love those people. I think I really scared them right off the bat, because there were people that was like kind of like when you hit the gas and you go to 0 to 60 in 4 seconds. That's what I did when I jumped on stage, and people were like, whoa, okay. I told them to buckle up, you know, but it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of good stuff that happened there, and I heard great stuff happened here, and just good. It's so good, isn't it? And I just want to bask for a moment. I just want to look at you, because I don't think you realize this. Even though life is hectic and busy, you are family, and you're a blessing, and you are my people, our people, God's people, all right? And so here's the thing. How many of you got super big plans for the 4th of July? Like two of you. All right, how many of you are going to see any amount of fireworks? Okay, you can't live in Alabama without seeing some form of fireworks, so you will see them whether you choose to or not. Just last night, we walk out on our back porch, and they're going off everywhere, right? And we're trying to go to bed at about 11 o'clock, and they're going off in our neighborhood, you know. I'm not going to be that guy, because I used to be that guy, still am. And for us, we are leaving Tuesday afternoon. We're going to Kentucky for a little family reunion. I haven't been back to that side of the family in many years, so I'm excited about that. And we'll be back Saturday and back Sunday to start the new series. And then, guess what? Man, oh man, have I been waiting for this. I go to bed at about 6 p.m. Tuesday so that we can get up at 3 a.m. on Wednesday and head 12 hours to the East Coast to our favorite destination that we go every year. And we'll be gone 10 days unplugged, thankfully, because guess what? When I cross the bridge to Oak Island, Sprint doesn't have a tower. They don't have a signal. So sorry about you, but I'll be out unplugged. And so thankfully, I only missed one Sunday during that time. But man, all kinds of people traveling. There's people going everywhere. And I've been jealous for so long. And now my time has come. So I'm excited. So you get to look at all of our pictures and be like, he's having such a good time. Actually, I won't be posting a thing. And I've told my wife to not post a thing either. But guess what? I've got a sermon to preach. So let me, it's hard because I missed y'all. You know, I've missed y'all. All right. So Hacksaw Ridge, how many of you have ever seen Hacksaw Ridge? Three times. Somebody else said like 5-6 times. Some of you, I get it. You're like, it's not for me, Ryan. It's too much blood, too much gore. I can't do it. You know, it's kind of a sin for me to watch that kind of film, you know. It's war. It's going to have gore and blood and all that. But if you haven't seen it, I hope that after today, it inspires you to see it, because it's a fantastic film that did not even do justice to the story that we're going to kind of try to tell today. You see, Hacksaw Ridge is a World War II era film that reveals the courageous actions of Private Desmond Doss on behalf of his army company during the Battle of Okinawa in 1945. Hacksaw Ridge was the nickname given to an area on the battlefield where the American soldiers were constantly being beaten back by the Japanese military. And during all the carnage, American soldiers suffered tons and tons of casualties and even more injuries. Adding to their misery was the fact that many of the injured were left on the battlefield as the Americans retreated. Fortunately for our guys, there was a young man named Private Doss who evacuated 75 of them from Hacksaw Ridge, most of it in the dark, all of it while under enemy fire. And oh yeah, by the way, in case you haven't seen the film, you don't know the story, he did it without ever carrying a weapon. And in a 12-hour span in the darkness of night under enemy fire from machine guns, hand grenades, mortars, he rescued one man every 10 minutes for 12 hours. While he said he could hear the bullets flying around him, the vibration of all the grenades going off, and the and it was just, I mean, the movie doesn't even do the story justice, because they believed that if they depicted everything as it truly was, it would be so unbelievable that reviews would be horrible. And so they couldn't put everything in the movie. So it's amazing. But also, not only did he do one man every 10 minutes for 12 hours, but each man he hoisted down a 350-foot ridge by rope. What in the world? What in the world? That's a miracle in itself, right? You see, Private Doss was also raised in a Seventh-day Adventist home where the Bible's teaching buried these deep convictions in his heart against killing. Thus, when he joined the army, he did so without firing or even carrying a weapon. Dez, as he was called by his brothers in arms, functioned as the squad's medic. Properly so, right? And so for his heroic and selfless efforts that we're going to be talking about throughout this message, he was awarded our nation's most prestigious citation, which was the Congressional Medal of Honor. And as I look at that movie, just like when I spoke about The Greatest Showman, I could speak on and on and on about that movie and create a series out of that. The same for this movie. There's so many themes wrapped within it, but I came out with three lessons that we can learn from Hacksaw Ridge. And it's going to be really hard for me to just stay here. I've been really working on trying to stay within camera. Who cares about the camera? You know, last week I had like a box that was about this wide and said, don't go above that line. They had a black line. And don't go behind this line because you get out of the light, just like I would here. And you'd be preaching in the dark. I don't care. It was hard for me. I was running in circles, and I was wanting to do, you know, dive bomb the audience and just like crowd surf, because I was so excited to share about the love of Jesus and the fact that he wants us to dream big and to love big. And let me tell you, just like I was telling our worship team, I've been in a lot of churches. I'm not talking about Hampton Cove, but I've been in a lot of churches, 6-7 churches in the last 6 months, just visiting, doing little events here and there. And let me just tell you, there's a lot of churches that look like you just walked into Walmart. People aren't happy. People aren't smiling. Let me tell you something else today, my brothers and sisters, and you can jump on your feet if you need to, because it was a whole lot of me trying to pull those people last week to even smile at me and to say an amen or something like that, and it made me miss my people, because here's the thing. We come into church. No, hold up. Hold up. Wait a minute. We come into church to do one thing and one thing only. And if you're in here for anything outside of that purpose, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. It's to adore. It's to adore and be in awe of the love that he lavishes. Lavishes. Do any of y'all know how to love lavishly? I don't think so. The love that he has lavished upon us to do something in here. It should do something in here. And so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how difficult your circumstances. And here I know. Even in this place where y'all are still trying to get used to me, there's still some people that are like, oh, here we go again. Would you just get into the Word of God already? Let me tell you something. When he grabs hold of you and changes you, and you realize finally, that there's nothing in this world that's worthy of surrendering yourself to outside of Jesus, this should be a party every stinking Sunday. All right, back to the message. There's three lessons that we can learn from Hacksaw Ridge, and the first one is to shine bright. We must let our light shine by living by our convictions. You see, Desmond Doss was an awesome man of God, and throughout the movie, you see him reading his most prized possession, the Word of God, the Bible. He was clinging to it almost, and it culminated into this tear-jerking moment at the end of the film when he thought that he had lost his Bible in the battle. Obviously, he loved God's word. He did more than read the Bible. He lived it. He lived it. And in this first clip that we're going to show you this morning, we see the final scene of the movie. Yeah, we're going to the end. Then we'll bounce back. Where Doss is injured, they're carrying him off on a stretcher, and he is so anxious over his most prized possession. Could you imagine being that way over your Bible? Having gone into a season where all he saw was death and injury and war, but to still have on the forefront not the gruesome injury he had to his leg and other parts of his body, but the fact that my Bible, I mean, this is the reason I can say that he was willing to live according to what he felt the Word of God said to him in his life. He was willing to take a stand for what he believed in. He believed that he should not use a gun to kill, even in war. And while I don't hold to that conviction, I certainly admire his willingness to stand up for what he believed in. This is what our world needs today. It's people that will stand by their convictions that are deeply rooted in a book that means so much to them that if they were to lose it, they'd be lost without it. James 1:22-25 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and do so and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." And I believe the reason why this incredibly brave man was able to run into battle without a weapon and save 75 men was because he was not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. He was a doer of the work, and he was blessed in what he did. There was a Japanese soldier that was reported as saying that he had Doss in his sights several times when he was lowering the men down that ridge. And he said every time he went to take a shot, his gun jammed up. If we're going to be effective in serving Jesus Christ and we're going to be able to make a huge difference in the spiritual war, we are at spiritual war. We have to know his word and we've got to be able to live by it. So let me ask you a question this morning. What convictions do you live by? What convictions do you live by? Are there things that you don't do, places that you won't go, words that you will not speak due to your convictions? And you will not sway from those convictions. So let me go a little deeper and ask you a little bit more of a personal question. A very personal question. How are you different from the neighbor that you have who does not know Christ? You see, there was a difference in the way that Private Doss lived his life and the rest of the men in his platoon and in his life. His life was formed around what he valued most, and that was the convictions that were settled and rooted in the Word of God. Amen? So what is conviction? What is conviction? A conviction is something that the Holy Spirit convinces you of based on the Word of God. You become convinced that this is how you are to live your life. And a conviction is more than just head knowledge and trying to do it in my self-will. It becomes a heartfelt belief that you walk into every day of your life, no matter what the circumstances are. So let me ask you another very important question today. Are you willing to stand up for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to read His Word and form your life around it? No matter what it costs you, no matter what it brings you, no matter if it brings you criticism or rejection, of those around you, are you willing to step in no matter what it costs you? And you see, my belief is that most Christians, and I'm going to go further than saying Christians, but followers of Christ aren't engaged enough with the Word of God. You see, I think there are so many of us that are entangled with the affairs of this life. We get so wrapped up in all the things that we do, and we put so much more attention, focus and emphasis on other things that we make more important. Let's just shoot straight here this morning and be honest with one another, right? That we forget that we are in a battle. And there's none of those other things that become idols in our life or that we're focusing so much attention on that are going to truly help us in that battle. And we forget that we need to please only one, and it's the one who has enlisted us. In 2 Timothy 2:4, it says, "No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer." Who is your commanding officer? It's time, church, friends, brothers, and sisters, it's time to untangle ourselves and get on mission. Because it is time to stop playing. Stop playing. We ain't got no time for that. Stop playing and start serving. Can somebody in here say amen?
Amen.
Just sit there. I need to record that. So the second lesson that we look at from Mr. Doss is shine despite. What I mean by that is we must love others even when they are not receptive to us. You see, Private Doss, he was on a mission. All right, he was relentless in his pursuit of that mission. His mission was to save as many soldiers around him as possible. He was misunderstood. He was ridiculed. He was mocked and beaten by the very ones that he was trying to save. Sound familiar? And in his second clip, he was just beaten the night before by four or five other soldiers trying to get him to quit because they couldn't stand what he stood for, couldn't stand that he was trying to serve his country without bearing arms. And even his commanding officer was behind it. And here's his reaction the next morning.
As you were. Where's Doss? This isn't good for anybody.
Sure ain't what I joined up for.
It's not about what you joined up for. It's about the lives of every man in here. And your son. It's time you quit this. Finish getting dressed and I'll walk you down. It's okay, Doss. There's no shame in this. Let's go.
I got extra guard duty today, and I'm on KP this morning, so... can't.
All right, Doss. Private Doss, can you identify the men that beat you?
No, Sarge.
Are you saying that you don't know who attacked you?
I never said I was attacked, Sarge.
Well, what the hell are you saying, Doss? You bruised half your body sleeping.
I sleep pretty hard.
Love it. Have you ever been in a position that the very ones that you were caring for were rejecting you? In other parts of the world, we see that Christians suffer greatly. They're persecuted, sometimes they're beaten, sometimes they're thrown in prison, sometimes they're even killed. But those believers in Jesus who suffer so much have come to a place where they actually are doing the words of Christ, no matter what their circumstances say. They pray for those who despitefully use them and abuse them. They bless those who are cursing them. What's our excuse? Every interaction we have with those on the outside is crucial. It's important. As we see in Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." You see, every conversation that we have with those on the outside is important. What do I mean by the outside? Outside are those that look differently than us, act differently than us, come from a different background. And we need to go out into this world ready to share the good news, the gospel, our story. Ready to always share our story. And to share the excitement, the enthusiasm, the overwhelming inspiration and motivation behind everything that we should be doing. And if by chance we do run into opposition, you're not alone. And remember, let us always remember 1 Peter 3:9. Don't repay evil for evil or insult with insult, but with blessing repay the evil cast at you. So I'm going to give you three ways that you can love people around you as you focus on the fact that I'm winning people to Christ. I'm turning people's awareness towards Christ. And the first one is just that. Love the people all around you.
Well, that sounds pretty easy, man.
No, it's not. You don't have to go searching for those who are in need of Christ for very far or very long, do we? They're at your job. They're at the stores that you shop in. They're amongst your family members. And in 1 Corinthians 13:8, it tells us that love never fails. Love never fails. We must do our best to demonstrate love to the ones that are in front of us, ones that are behind us and all around us. And that's the first thing. The second thing is to pray for them. The church of the Lord Jesus must get back to praying for people who don't know Jesus. We've got to. I wonder how many times Private Doss laid down in his bed and prayed for all those that were around him. It is biblical to pray for the lost, to come to Christ. 1 Timothy 2:1-4 says, "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people." All people. Let me say it a third time. All people. who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So we love the people around us, we pray for them, but also we live our faith out in front of them. Demonstrate what it means to have a changed life. You show them that you don't run to the same things that they do. Well, I don't get it, man. I know when I'm struggling, when I'm stressed, when I'm overwhelmed. I know what I do. TGIF, man. But you, I know some of the storms surrounding you, and you just, there's something different. You don't tap into all the ways that we do. There's something different about you. You see, that's because we left our past life. You have a new life in Jesus when you claim the name of Jesus. A new life in Jesus, and we've got to live that out because there's a world around us that needs to see it. You are a sermon in shoes or flip-flops, or if you're barefoot, hashtag barefoot preacher. All right? You are the only Bible that some people are ever going to read. It's so true. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen? Amen. And the third and final lesson that we receive from Mr. Doss is shine insight. What I mean is we must recognize that the future of those around us matters to God, that we begin to transition our thinking, that we begin to have a new filter, that we begin to have a new perspective, that we have heaven insight. I know that there are many who call themselves Christians, followers of Christ, who do not have any passion or compassion at all for lost souls. They're underneath this satanic deception that the only thing they need to do is get their ticket to heaven and then go about doing their thing. And what happens is they're off mission. They're off the path that God intended for them. They don't have any concern for lost folks, for people that are dying and going to hell. They don't give money to missions. They don't give money to the church they attend. They aren't involved in ministry in any way. In fact, others who name the name of Christ really don't like people that aren't like them. You're supposed to, you know, love the sinner, hate the sin, right? I don't have to like them. Then you have legalism that creeps in. And you're doing it for all the wrong reasons, wrong motives. To tell you the truth, that these people would rather not be around such people that are different from them. I'm thankful that we're continuing to create a culture here that all walks of life are welcome through these doors. And it's amazing. They would, you know, most people struggle. They would rather surround themselves with people who believe like them. They would rather not get their hands dirty, keep their hands in close. They would rather not have to hear certain language. They would rather hide in their house and in their churches rather than engage the world. C.T. Studd. Could you imagine having that last name? Studd. Mr. Studd. Pastor Studd. I think I'm going to change my name. C.T. Studd, he was a missionary in the 1800s. He wrote a poem that should be part of our battle cry. He said this, "Someone will live within the sound of chapel bells. I want to run a mission next door to the gates of hell." Come on. You see, one of the things that this movie shows us is that people matter to God. And if they matter to God, they should matter to us. Amen? May we never come to a place where we stop sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, because God has done so much for us. He has provided for us. He has blessed us. We have cars and houses and great jobs, and some of you don't have those things, but you still have many, many other things. You're still in the top 2% of the most rich people in America, even if you have 82 cents in your pocket. All right? So don't. You know, if you have to, quit looking at social media so you quit envying everybody else's stuff, because that's not where our focus should be anyway. Here's the thing. Imagine receiving all these blessings from God, all the things that you could list that he's done for you, a nice family, a good marriage, just material goods, and then you miss the main point of this book. In this final scene, Doss has already saved a bunch of men. He's in the dark of night. And just to set it up for you, because the picture is very dark, it's hard to see, is that he's exhausted. Could you imagine? He's carrying, this dude's only like 160 pounds. And he's carrying these soldiers with their gear on. He's carrying them who knows how far to the edge of a 350-foot ledge. And he's bracing himself against a stump and lowering them down. One at a time, one every 10 minutes. Can we say miracle? And every time he does it, he falls back in exhaustion. Then the Holy Spirit grabs hold of him and he says, just one more, Lord. Just one more.
Please, Lord, help me get one more. Help me get one more.
Just one more, Lord. The main point of the Bible is that God is reconciling the world back to himself through Jesus Christ. And that is why we must say with Desmond Doss this morning, just one more, Lord. Just one more. The greatest privilege that we have is rescuing lost souls. While we may never have the opportunity to save someone's life physically, we do have the opportunity to impact people all around us spiritually. And when Desmond Doss saw the wounded on the battlefield of life, he just said, just one more, Lord. One more. You see, Desmond was on the top of Hacksaw Ridge all night long, rescuing his fallen brothers in battle. And as the band comes forward, let me ask you another really personal question. Are you a soul winner? Are you someone who prays about those who don't know Jesus? Does that do something to you? When you think about your family members, when you think about your coworkers, when you think about every time you do walk into Walmart, instead of getting so frustrated that people aren't smiling, that people are looking at the phone while they're scanning your groceries and they're treating you as if it's an inconvenience to serve you, have you ever thought deeper than yourself to think that those people may be miserable because their soul is miserable? Their soul has not been rescued like yours has. May we change our perspective today. Are you willing to say, God, give me that burden so that my life can mean more, that my days can mean so much more than the stuff that I keep getting wrapped up in? I love people, but I'm going to tell you, when I go to Facebook, I've got to unfollow. I unfollow like 200 people a week. Because it's all saturated with their junk. And it's not doing anything to cultivate the message of hope in the world, one of the greatest platforms we have in Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Yeah, we could go and say, oh, I'm just going to get away from it. That's your choice and bless you. But what an amazing platform we have. Who cares what anybody says about it? Who cares who beat you up overnight? You're going to stand up the next morning, you're going to post another Bible verse, right? You know what I'm saying? You're going to post and you're going to shine bright and you're going to look and you're going to get that app to see how many people unfollow you. And see, well, man, all of a sudden I've been posting all these glorious things, all this hope in Jesus, and I got like 25 people that unfollowed me. Keep going. Keep doing it. I hope that our passion gets to the point that we say just one more. Yeah. You see, Desmond Doss was a hero. He was a hero in the physical war that he was in. And I want to ask you today, is there just one? Is there two? Is there maybe three Desmond Dosses out there who would carry the same passion for the lost and the broken and the hurting of this world? You see, Hacksaw Ridge shows us the importance of being involved in the spiritual rescue of men and women, bringing them to Jesus. What's it going to be for you today? This isn't a feel-good sermon. None of them are. But it's all about you and your soul and what you have allowed yourself to be saturated in. So what is it today? Maybe for you, you've got to choose to pick this book back up. You got to start crying in it. You got to start underlining it. You got to start praying over it. You got to start carrying it everywhere with you. Take it wherever you're tempted. I'm pretty sure whatever it is, if it's pornography, if it's alcohol, if it's drugs, if it's sexual this and that, whatever it might be, if the Bible, the Word of God is sitting there with you, guess what? I dare you to grab this book and to make it a more active part of your lifestyle. It will change you. And it's just like any of you could say that you went through a season, years, months, whatever it might be, that you weren't reading God's word. But that morning when you set your alarm a little bit earlier, you got in your prayer closet, your quiet place, wherever it was, and you read it, you probably found that you were struggling because you had to go get in the shower. You're struggling because you had to go get ready. I'm going to be late for work. And you left that moment, you drove down the road, and you were like, why don't I do that more often? Yeah. There's no explaining it today. I'm not going to be able to sit here and tell you a 3-point formula. But what I can tell you is this book will radically reshape any thinking, living, anything in your life. It will transform you. So maybe that's what it is for you today. If it's the fact that you need to begin seeing God stir in you a new burden, pray for it. Just like you pray for wisdom. You pray for strength. You pray for all these things. Pray for the lost people. On August 7th, Tuesday, August 7th at 6 a.m., in this room, we resume what I think is one of the greatest things that this church body does. And that's just getting on our knees together, believing in the awakening that God is going to pour out on this place. That doesn't have to start August 7th. It can start in your life right now. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the amazing life that you desire to bless us with. And God, I pray that today that we wouldn't look at our circumstances and just say, how long, how much more, but that God, we would say, how long do you desire to keep me in the fire? So that you can refine me and that you can mold me and you can make me who you desire to make me in the midst of the storm. And may I rejoice in you and praise you in the midst of all the gunfire around me and continue to have you as my focus as well as other people and their souls. God, help us. We can't do it on our own. We need you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.